Hello, everyone. My name is Lydia, and you're listening to All Access Pass on CITR 101.9 FM. We're broadcasting live from Vancouver on the unceded territory of the Hukuminam-speaking Musqueam people. In the studio, I am joined by my Accessibility Collective teammates, Sarah, Allison, and Accessibility Collective Coordinator, Deepi. Today's show will focus on some great music, talk about Monday's United Nations International Day of Persons with Disabilities, some more music, our thoughts on the 33-minute documentary called Picture This, and again, more music. To get started, here is a song called Angels by Zaina Arkat off her album Mind Journey. Welcome back to All Access Pass. That was very soothing. It was Mind Journey by Zaina Arkat off her album Mind Journey. A little bit about Zaina. She is a Palestinian Bahraini guitarist and composer living in the northern area of the Arabian Gulf island of Bahrain. She was diagnosed with a rare type of muscular dystrophy called nemaline myopathy at an early age. And due to this, and contracting pneumonia as a teenager, she lost her vision within a few months of contracting pneumonia. This was the result of optic neuritis. All right. So now we're going to turn to Deepi, who is going to talk about the UN International Day of Persons with Disabilities. Deepi, what's up?
Hi. Thank you, Lydia, for that. United Nations International Day of Persons with Disability is annually held on December 3rd to focus on issues that affect people with disabilities worldwide. What do people do? Across many countries worldwide, people participate in various of ways to promote the International Day of Persons with Disabilities. Some events may include art exhibitions, and promoting artwork by people with disabilities. Furthermore, some events may have protests to highlight the difficulties people with disabilities may encounter when trying to get acceptance by the society and from their own communities. The awareness was originally called International Day of Disabled Persons until 2007. And each year, the day focuses on a different theme. Some of the past themes were, in 2011, it was called Together for a Better World for All, including persons with disabilities in development. In 2012, Removing Barriers to Create an Inclusive and Accessible Society for All. In 2013, Break Barriers, Open Doors for Inclusive Society and Development for All. In 2014, Sustainable Development, The Promise of Technology. In 2015, Inclusion Matters, Access and Empowerment for People of All Abilities. 2016, Achieving 17 Goals for the Future We Want. 2017, in Transformation Towards Sustainable and Resilient Society for All. And the theme for this year, IDPD, was Empowering Persons with Disabilities and Ensuring Inclusiveness and Equability. This theme focuses on empowering persons with disabilities for inclusive, equitable, and sustainable development. Envision in Agenda for Sustainable Development. In Vancouver and in the U.S., there were some festivals that happened last Monday, December 3rd, in which they were free, and it had hosts like Open Door Group for Project Everybody, which is an organization that promotes opportunities that highlight and showcasing the talents of people with disabilities, and Inclusion BC. Inclusion BC is a nonprofit organization that promotes and advocates the rights and opportunities of people with intellectual disabilities and stigma. And then they offered some films that touched on relationships and identity work, finding homes, and just basically everyday life things that they go through. And unfortunately, I couldn't be there. But from what I've heard, my friends said that they were superb and very touching. And Nicole was there and at this event in New West. But unfortunately, she's not here. So Sarah will be reading her part on her behalf. Sarah, take it away.
Thanks, DP.
No worries.
So I'm going to be reading Nicole's thoughts on the film festival that happened on December 3rd. And Nicole is really adamant that everyone knows that she is autistic. So she wants her thoughts read with that point of view. And she said, "It was not accessible for me as someone with sensory sensitivities. The setting was very dark, no light, while people were taking photos with flash on, and I am sensitive to light. I'm photosensitive. I also have audio hypersensitivity. That is a sensitivity to loud noises. The sound at the film festival was extremely loud, such that I can still hear it quite loud even after putting earmuffs on. And the earmuffs provide noise reduction of 30 decibels. So, my experience was very anxiety-provoking, which is ironic, given that these organizations that are putting on the film festivals are advocating for people with disabilities."
Thanks. Yeah, that's really unfortunate that this event was not accessible, given who it was directed towards.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, DP, Sarah, and Nicole, if you're listening. Thank you for letting us know what's going on in BC. Now we're going to head on to another song break. It's going to be The Last Flight by Zina Arkat off her album Mind Journey.
Deals and you can count. We've partnered with some local businesses, so come down to us to get your card before it's too late.
As a member of CIT Artist Score, you get amazing deals with some of Vancouver's finest local businesses, such as Corner's Pub, Australian Boot Company, The Bike Kitchen, Rufus Guitar Shop, Vinyl Records, and the Cinematheque. For more information, visit CITR.ca/friends.
What is disability insurance? 1 out of 10 Canadians wouldn't know how to answer this question. What's more troubling is that 3 out of 4 Canadians say that being unable to work for 3 months due to a disability would severely impact their personal finances. But getting covered is easier than you think. It generally only costs between 1% and 3% of your income, and insurance benefits can maintain your income as though you're still at work full time. If you are a working person, then stay safe and get covered. Statistics courtesy of RBC Insurance.
Hello and welcome back to All Access Pass. Thank you for listening to these songs from Mind Journey by Zina Arkat. We're going to move now to talking about the documentary Picture This. And just a heads up, we will be talking explicitly about sex. And in quoting the documentary, we will be using some problematic language around sex and disability. So, to get us rolling, Sarah, what's this film about?
Thanks, Lydia. So what is this film about? What does it mean to be disabled and to be desirable? And in Picture This, which is a new documentary by Jerry Osborne, we meet a man named Andrew Gerza, and he's a self-described queer cripple who has made it his mission to make sex and disability part of the public discourse. So just a short synopsis, this documentary starts off with Andrew talking about how he had just been intimate with a guy, and he was really excited, and emotionally Andrew was totally invested and really hopeful that this guy might be invested in him, and that he might care about Andrew. And this guy just has the audacity to say, like, oh no, actually that was just pity sex, you know, because you're in a wheelchair. Yeah. And the scene pans out, and Andrew's disappointment is absolutely palpable. And if anyone here has ever been rejected, I know I've been rejected, and that sucks. But if someone were to so explicitly look down on me for something that I can't change, like the physique of my body, well, that's not fair. That's not something you can change. So that just hits you at your very core. So while that was a really cruel thing to say, Andrew actually insinuated that it was just a representative of a greater feeling among the queer community that you can't be disabled and have sex, and that really in this queer community you're looking for like hard body men, really intense physique. And actually in that moment you really see that Andrew has a really strong mind, because he moves forward in these really painful emotional circumstances, and I really gained a lot of respect for him and the hardship that he has daily. And Andrew talks about how through university he never felt lonely, but after university he moved to a more remote area and he felt really sad. He felt really lonely. And there were all of these feelings and these needs and desires and these pains that he had felt but he ignored, and they were really upsetting him. And so he started to write them down, and he started sharing them on his blog, on his podcast, and he found that there were a lot of people that felt the same. And they felt that they were not allowed to express a desire for sex because they were disabled. And Andrew became a little bit of a beacon, began setting up circumstances in which it was safe for disabled people to talk about sex and share what they knew. And one of these interesting events was a safe space disabled sex party, which had been extremely successful in Toronto in the previous year. Yeah, so this is a really cool thought. This is a really cool idea. I guess it was sensationalized internationally. But actually, there was a scene that was really interesting that showed Andrew at the party venue 3 weeks before the sex party was intended to occur this year. And it seemed like he was resigned to the fact that this party might not happen this year. And it was surprising that after such a phenom of a party last year, the enthusiasm had died out this year and people were not intent on coming. And he was saying that, you know, in a previous scene, he was saying, I'd rather be fetishized than invisible. And he says it several times to his friend, clearly. And what he was saying in a different context, if you bring it back to this party, is that he didn't feel it was fair to be sensationalized for disability, but this sensationalization led to enthusiasm for the sex party. So when that was gone, the press didn't think of it as a sex orgy. Well, and the taboo and the excitement was lost too. And then the party failed. And I think that was just like a really interesting, ironic thing where you don't want the sensationalization, but you almost need it to gain anything. Andrew's friend mentioned something that I did not know, which is that if AIDS feel uncomfortable in any way, they can deny you help. And that's really hard if you're dependent on them as a surrogate body, because they can deny helping you. And so if you want to be touched in a sexual way and you need help, well, you're dependent on them and you might just not get it. And that's really not fair, because, I mean, it's just hard. And what does fair even mean? But they require people to touch them every day. But it's not in an emotional way, it's not an emotional connection. So it's just that paradox between touch that you need and touch that you really want. And I just had one last thought, and I thought it was quite interesting to see what Andrew's family was like. That was something I was really curious about the whole way through. And Andrew's mother is just a fireball, and she believed him to be capable from the very start and really pushed him. And she knew he would encounter hardship along the way and wanted him to prepare for it. And so Andrew was included in every family event and was encouraged to do anything he was capable of. And you can really, really see that in his confidence and his pride and his boldness, and I really appreciate that.
Yeah, Andrew's mom, mm-hmm. like, she knows what she's about, and you can definitely see where he gets his confidence from. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, she is, like, here for him mm-hmm. every step of the way. I also thought it was really interesting when you talked about how personal support workers can be, like, complicit in a person feeling alienated from their body. Someone else in the documentary talked about feeling both hyper-visible and invisible. And that's like an interesting way in which we can see sort of taboos around sex and taboos around disability sort of compounding their effects in negative ways. To turn now to a little bit more about Andrew Gerza, he's a disability awareness consultant with cerebral palsy, and he's a wheelchair user. He lives in Toronto, and his written work on disability and sexuality has been included in Out Magazine, The Advocate, and Huffington Post. He has an MA of Legal Studies from Carleton, in law and disability. He's an Ontario guy. And he runs the podcast Disability After Dark. And he co-organized the sort of sex party / orgy that Sarah was just talking about. And he's super active on social media. He's created a bunch of hashtags to get discussions going, such as DISSAY, all caps, bold, Disability After Dark, Bear in a Chair, and Kiss a Queer Cripple. He consults, and he is available for hire as we speak. So now we're going to turn to Allison. Allison, what do you think?
Thank you, Lydia.
You're welcome.
I thought the documentary was fascinating. I enjoyed that Andrea was in the forefront in raising awareness about sexuality and disability. Some of the points that I found that are of note are that he was explaining different types and exploring different types of sexuality, and he explained that body parts are working, even though a lot of people might need help in utilizing them. He also talked about being embarrassed, needing help in using these body parts. And he also talked about being shameless and needing help and exploring on how to have fun in different ways. Some of the downsides that I found is that he highlighted physical disabilities, and you don't really see developmental, intellectual, and mental disabilities that are hidden. It was very briefly mentioned about not having a sex drive or being asexual, and being seen as less than other people and lower intellectually than others. And I loved seeing his mom and some of his friends, but I would like to see kind of more of his friends and more of his family.
Mm-hmm.
My personal kind of life is that I'm seen as normal, quote unquote, with fully functioning body parts and brain. I have an invisible disability. Or I'm seen as feeble-minded, quote unquote, with a lower functioning brain and functioning body parts. Since many don't understand, I have an average IQ and a fully functioning body. I have fully developed boobs. I have a butt.
Woo!
I have a hairy vagina and I have hairy legs. And I have a high-pitched voice. My body's pretty developed. And because that people everywhere that I go are embarrassed to talk to me, and especially when I was younger, and tell me what's happening to my body, which is totally normal, they don't see that I would understand how to use my own body They're embarrassed to talk about sex, and because of that, my risk of sexual assault, rape, harassment, mm-hmm. unintended pregnancies, STDs, reproductive health issues, abusive relationships, and unhealthy boundaries in intimate relationships go up. Mm-hmm. So my overall health decreases when I'm not given information at how to use my own body. Mm-hmm. Take it away, DB.
Thank you, Allison, for that. I thought the film was well produced, and it was great to see Andrew creating his mission and voicing for people with disabilities that they too have the needs and desires like any other human beings out there. It has Andrew sharing his thoughts and all the questions he had on what he wanted, looking for in terms of a passion and possible being in a relationship, and how in a public eye it is ignored subject, really. I believe this film was a tool to question to the public as to why no one really talks about the and to a person with a disability, it is okay to feel this way, and you're not alone. It is a natural feeling to feel what you feel, and it should be an open discussion topic to public, not only to people with disabilities, but people in general, and not to shy away or completely ignore it. My thoughts were, while watching the film, that people in general don't know how to speak, though, and never mind touch a person. Mm-hmm. So I think that's another awareness that needs to also be looked at. And I, like Lydia and Sarah mentioned, it was really, really cool to see Andrew's mom and his friend also be a part of the film, because you hear their perspective as well, and they were like encouraging and supportive, which I can see where Andrew is great at, which is to bring a good awareness and not shy away what he truly believes. Mm-hmm. So, and now we have Tara, who unfortunately couldn't be here, but she's another Accessibility Collective member here, and we're going to play her thoughts.
My name is Tara, and I belong to the All Access Pass Collective.
So, Tara, can you tell me your thoughts on the short film Picture This?
It was very sharp. It was only 33 minutes long, and it was thought-provoking.
What about it was thought-provoking to you?
The topic of intimacy and dating, and the need that those with disabilities need the same needs as other people, and people don't think that at all of those with disabilities. They think, oh, you have a disability, therefore you're not entitled, or you don't have those feelings too.
Yeah, totally. And so how was the film able to maybe make audience members realize that those with disabilities are also sexual? Like, how did the film communicate that?
He communicated through his preference for men. And I think he mentioned something about he has a fetish thing going on. I didn't exactly get that. And there was a scene where people were dressed way too provocatively for my taste. Sorry, I don't go for that.
That's okay. So it was a bit it was a bit provocative. Like he was talking about his own sexuality and his sexual orientation, and so, yeah, you found that to be a bit too much.
The people who were dressed up in that one picture scene, I thought they could be dressed more modestly. I just don't like things that are revealing. I prefer people to be dressed up nicely, and I don't like tattoos.
Okay, so everyone's entitled to their own preference, but in terms of the content of the film, what were there any important messages that you took away from the film?
That people with disabilities are perceived as not being dateable. That people think that people with disabilities are don't have the same feelings because of a disability, when in fact that isn't true. We develop just as normally as everybody else, except some people are different. But I think it's easier for... I feel it is easier for someone in a wheelchair to find a partner than someone who has a neurological disability or one that's invisible.
Yeah, that's really an interesting point. Did the film get into that difference between having a physical disability versus a neurological one?
No, not that I know, but I just know I've seen a lot of other people with disabilities with wheelchairs, and they have partners a lot of times. But when you have, like, an invisible disability, like, on the autism spectrum, it's harder because people don't see it. Well, the wheelchair, oh, you have a wheelchair. Okay, you have a disability. Cool. But they can still read, for the most part, like, unless they also have Asperger's, which is different, then they can at least read subtle cues and be able to do the social thing. And they are not as socially isolated. I see them as not as socially isolated as those on the autism spectrum who have a harder time getting around in the world and finding partners.
That's a really, really good point. Really interesting. And so you feel like maybe the film didn't highlight enough that distinction?
Well, it was from his perspective, so which is fine. He was making from his own views, so whether or not it doesn't matter whether it's a distinction or not, because that's his. I wouldn't expect him to talk about something he knows nothing about. So that's his view, how hard it is for him because he has a different type of disability.
Yeah, fair. It was told from his perspective, and he's a person in a wheelchair.
Oh yeah, he had a nice wheelchair. Okay, I have a thing for wheelchairs too. I look at wheelchairs, and I see some really cool ones out there.
Yeah, definitely. There definitely are some cool wheelchairs. So maybe to end things off, do you want to tell me what your favorite scene was in the film?
I mainly listened to it while I was checking my emails. So probably, but when he was being bathed, that was a poignant one because he really is not able to fully take care of himself, and he really needs somebody. So for him, it may be harder to find somebody, as opposed to somebody who has, like, who is injured later in life, and they're like a quadriplegic, and they can do other things as well. So his is from birth, his disability, and I think he said his mother. I think his mother was on the film and mentioned that he did not get any slack, but that his family made sure to include him in whatever activities and family, not exclude him from anything. And they didn't treat him as, they didn't coddle him, which is important because I've noticed a lot of people on the autism spectrum who've been coddled from birth. And they appear to be more disabled than they actually are. And it's frustrating.
Okay, yeah. So the film really reflected on how he was brought up by his family, and that his disability he's had his whole life. So is there anything you wanted to say to add to this interview before I let you go?
I think it's a good film to watch, and it helps you open your eyes. And a lot of people have issues with gay people. So it's a good film to open up your mind and see that even if you may be uncomfortable with what they do. It's nobody's business what people do behind closed doors, as long as they're not doing any harm. And as far as I'm concerned, what they do whatever they do behind closed doors is none of my business. So whether that makes me uncomfortable or not, that's not the point. I think they can do whatever they want.
Well, thanks so much for talking with me, Tara.
Thank you.
And we're back. Well, thank you so much, Tara, and thank you, Alex, for those questions. So, Allison, I think you had something you wanted to say in connection to this piece.
I've also seen this happen. I volunteered for an organization called Autism BC. They do applied behavioral analytics, ABA, which is a type of behavioral intervention. It can be quite controversial, but they had a speaker about sexuality and how to discuss sexuality with preteens with autism or autistics. And another behavioral interventionist, hearing upon different sexualities, turned to the guest speaker and said, "How dare you speak about homosexuality or gender queerness? It is a sin. How dare you? How dare you? How dare you?" And almost kicked the guest speaker out of that space, because it was against the person's religion. So it's, people with disabilities can have different gender identities, can have different sexualities. It's okay. But those who are helping us and providing services for us tend to say, "Oh, you can only be cisgendered and heterosexual instead of everything else," because cisgendered and heterosexual is the only okay thing in the Bible.
And just to clarify, so these people are trying to help you change your behavior?
Yes.
Okay.
Tried to change my behavior to fit the wider society.
I see. Well, I think that's a really nice testament to how academic training does not necessarily prepare one to be helpful to others.
Yeah.
With that in mind, turning back to the film, what do you think of Andrew Gerza as the star and kind of like centerpiece of discussion for this film?
I think he did a great job because he at least brought it. He did a great job because at least he brought it, like, disability to the forefront. And yes, it was physical, but it was something to bring to the forefront so we have those discussions. What does everybody else think?
I thought he was really well spoken.
Me too.
Like, I really, really have to applaud him, because it's not a topic that is like something to talk about, really, because we've never, like, there's not enough education out there, but he's educating everyone from his perspective. So for him to do this, it's a big step, and good for him. Hopefully his mission succeeds even further. I don't know where it, from this film, where it will go, but I wish him all the best, and good for him.
Great, yeah.
Yeah.
Thought he was, that man is really sharp, I think. He's really sharp, and I don't know what he studied in his undergraduate degree, but I had a conversation on the bus with someone about this, and they were saying, well, isn't it ironic, right? Like, you're trying to be normalized and you're out there doing something scandalous. But, I mean, he is right there trying to make a space for that conversation to happen, and he's going to take, like, a lot of kind of hardship for it, but he really believes in it. And that is something so brave that I have never experienced. So I really, like, kudos to this dude.
And it is a barrier. Like, people need to understand, too. It's a barrier. And he's bringing that barrier. Like, he's removing that, too. So it's not a common thing that you would probably hear, but it is a barrier that that happens all the time with people with disabilities. Mm-hmm. And he's just making it known that it's been hidden for so long, and now it's time to, like, also remove it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What do you think, Lydia?
I thought he was great. I thought he was, like, charismatic, and I was sort of really impressed with sort of how it was set in his own house, and we were really allowed into, like, his space and to see him, like, in vulnerable positions. Mm. Like, that to me seemed like an act of, like, total bravery. I would not let a camera crew into my house.
No.
But here he was. And I thought that was really cool. What did you guys think of, like, the setting of the film and how that part was set up?
Go ahead, DB.
Well, so it was really cool to see that he actually uses a ceiling left. And so it kind of gives you a setting of what his life looks like. So he's in a wheelchair and he uses this ceiling lift. Mm-hmm. And it's part of his everyday life. And he can't skip it. Like, it's part of him. So it's really neat to see that, you know, yes, this is his side of him. And people have to accept it, too. So it was really neat to see that part of him.
Yeah, and how, like, sort of what is considered normal is a flexible thing. Yeah. Definitely. Was there any, like, criticisms you would have for this film or things you were particularly impressed by?
I don't know. Allison, what do you think? Or Sarah?
Go ahead. I liked the physical side, having physical disabilities, because it really highlighted, like, kind of what do people with physical disabilities go through. I think, though, it was, like Tara said as well, like, the intellectual, the developmental, the hidden disabilities weren't really shown.
Mm-hmm.
Which meant that no one really knows, like, that I have something, or also, like Tara, you can't really see it in our physical bodies. You could kind of see it through behaviors, but we're so good at hiding it, then once someone knows, they think that we wouldn't be able to have sex or to understand what sex is or understand what's happening to our bodies. And of course we know what is happening to our bodies. Our peers in the same age group, we're seeing changes in ourselves. We're seeing others in our peer group changing with us. At the same right time, at the same rate, doing the same thing. So of course we understand. So that's the downfall.
Mm-hmm.
I also think the downfall is him explaining himself as a kid, when he was going through his preteens and prepubescent era, what did he see in himself, and did he compare himself to other kids the same age? What was his sex education like? Stuff like that.
Yeah, it didn't really explain a whole lot in terms of, like, what education he had in terms of sex and disability. Mm-hmm. So I thought that they could have explored a little bit more. Plus, I thought 33 minutes is not a lot.
Yeah.
But they this could have made the film a little longer, in my opinion. So that, because I had a lot more questions. Mm-hmm. And then there was a scene where there's this event and he was taking questions from the audience. And it didn't focus a lot. Just one question. So I was really, interested what others in the audience had to ask them. Mm-hmm. And they didn't really show that.
Like, I hear you, but I kind of disagree because the reason that actually I had people to talk to about it is because it was 30 minutes. So I could send the link out and people are like, whatever, I just mess around in my lunch break for 30 minutes anyway.
Yeah.
And they're much more inclined to just see it. Like, actually, several of my friends would just watch it because it's like, oh, what is a half hour, you know?
Yeah.
So, but there was an interesting point, and I am curious to hear your guys' opinion. Mm. There was a point in which they were talking about how Andrew and his friends believe that the government should be paying for sex workers. Mm-hmm. And so that kind of brings up the question, like, who are you to say what someone's needs are? Who are you to put a price on their needs? But I think, like, some of these friends that I talked to, they're like, well, it's taxpayer money. But again, it's someone's needs. So, like, what do you think?
That's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it is relevant here that the Canadian government website does list, like, sexual health as a component of overall health.
Really? Yeah.
So it is on the radar of people who distribute tax money, but
as you can tell in this film, that's not the case.
Exactly. No, I'm not. I don't think employing sex workers is on the docket for the Canadian government currently.
No.
Yeah. Do it.
Oh, this is Alex. I'm doing the boards. I just want to say, when you say sexual health is, like, something listed by the government, do they mean, like, sexual health as in, like, just your health, your reproductive health, and your health in terms of, like, being, like, just having good health in your body? Or do they mean, like, health of your sexuality? You know what I mean? That distinction?
So there is a combination of, like, biological and emotion components to health. The emotional component and sort of the relationship-based one are, like, very briefly addressed from what I've seen, but I have not looked at the site recently, so don't quote me. It is definitely more focused on, like, biology and reproduction and STIs, though.
Yeah.
There's a lot of things that I think the government should be able to pay for. I know, and you touched about this. I got tested when I was really little to find that I had something, and my parents had to pay for my testing out of pocket. Mm-hmm. It was about $2,500 per test every 5 years. Mm-hmm. It's now about $9,000 per test every 5 years. Mm-hmm. And it has to be done until the person finishes school. It's pricey. And if my parents didn't have the money to pay for my testing, I would be put onto a 2 to 3 year wait list just to get tested, just so I could have a diagnosis of something so that I have very little minimal support. Mm-hmm. Because I don't have autism, never got any money from the government for any type of therapy. And I went to Langara. I had to then pay out of pocket for a private note taker, and that was $36 an hour.
Shoot.
That's just for something that, like, I can't, like, do. Well, I can, but it's near to impossible. Mm-hmm. The government didn't pay for that. I paid out of pocket. If my parents didn't have the money, I would be in the whims of another student who may or may not take good notes. So it's like the sexual health have being able to for sex workers, and then on top, the government doesn't even pay for testing for any type of learning issues, doesn't pay for any type of treatment. Nothing. So it's even a grander scheme of things other than just the sex. That's one component.
And just to confirm, so the paying for testing is done in the hopes of a diagnosis that will lead to more resources, but the diagnosis itself will not necessarily lead to more government support. Is that correct?
Mm, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah. Quite... That's a good question. It's quite pricey. I've had issues at Langara that I won't discuss now, but I have a 3-inch binder of 4 different tests. Each test is about $9,000. 9 times 4 is 36,000.
Wow.
Just for testing. Whoa. And that's another about $10,000 per semester just to get help in university on top of university costs, mm-hmm. like mm-hmm. tuition, books, all of that. So it's pricey. It's very pricey.
Very much not accessible.
No. Yeah, no. Totally not accessible.
Thank you.
Hey, right. What do you think about, do we want to finish up or one more question? What do you think, DP?
No, I guess, you know, we... Yep. Touched on a lot of things.
Yeah.
So, my advice is for everyone who is interested watching Picture This, you can. It's you can Google Picture This, film documentary. It's on Facebook, and yeah, so it's on Facebook, and do watch it if you are interested. It definitely educates people, so and like we all said, that Andre Gerza is well spoken, and I should add he's been on All Access Pass in the past.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's been on our first season. Nice. So big shout out to him. Hope he's listening, but yeah, so good for him.
Nice. Well, I guess we will head towards wrapping.
Yeah.
DP, anything to say about...
Yeah, so if you want to join or interested in joining our team, there is an issue that you would want to bring up to our show, please send us an email at accessibilitycollective@citr.ca.
Thank you for listening to us today. Hi, Grandpa.
Hi, Allison's grandpa. Please like us on All Access Pass Facebook page.
We are also on Twitter and Instagram at @access_CITR.
All right, bye team.
Bye. Happy holidays.